Welcome back to Drive Time. As we all know, U.S. President Joe Biden has wound back on 15 of Donald Trump's executive orders, one of them being the so-called Muslim ban. But there's still a lot missing. Online for comment is Iranian academic and political analyst Professor Mohammad Mirandi. Professor Mirandi, assalamu alaikum. Welcome.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
Professor Mirandi, I'm sure like many analysts, you've looked very closely at what Joe Biden has signed off. I'm sure you're pleased about the Muslim ban being lifted. But I'm sure in Iran there are still questions about the JCPOA. What's going to happen about the agreements that Trump broke with Iran in terms of nuclear scenarios?
Well, one thing that many people don't know is actually Trump's Muslim ban, as it's called, has its roots in a document signed by Obama, where he created visa restrictions for six countries. And the so-called Muslim ban of Trump was founded upon that decree by Obama. So actually, the first steps towards that ban were brought about by the Obama administration, in which Biden was the vice president. So it's not as if this this has been completely cleared, and that the United States is treating people with dignity, as all countries have to do. There are still the restrictions that were implemented under Obama himself. With regards to the Iranian nuclear deal, yes, you're absolutely correct. The Iranians were not expecting the United States to reverse this, the Trump sanctions, because the United States has never been reliable in the past, whether under Obama, and we know that Biden is even more right-wing than Obama. So the Iranians were expecting Biden to make good noises, but in reality, the expectations are that Biden will try to use the inhumane sanctions against Iran to get more concessions. But he will have to have a very, very long wait, because the Iranians are not going to appease Biden just as much as they were not willing to appease Trump.
Do you think Biden is aware that if he's going to deal with the Iranians diplomatically, it's not going to be the same as some of the other countries he deals with, who might just roll over and take it? We know, as you've already indicated, and we can see from evidence, that Iran will play a very different game.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. I think we've all seen, for example, when the United States puts a little bit of pressure on Turkey, President Erdogan kneels very quickly. When the United States puts pressure on Morocco or on the Emirates or on Saudi Arabia, they quickly move to make sure Trump or the U.S. government doesn't get angry. But Iran is a very different case. Iran is a fiercely independent country. The revolution 4 decades ago was about making Iran independent. Iran is not allied to any bloc, and therefore the United States is going to have to deal with this reality. And while I am not optimistic about Biden becoming realistic, but I think as time goes by and the United States faces greater difficulty at home because of the divisions inside the United States, as we all know now, because of the economic crisis and because of the COVID crisis, the U.S. hand is weaker today than it was in the past. And therefore, this creates more momentum for Iran. And also, U.S. allies in the region have been weakened because of the global economic crisis and COVID. So the Iranians feel that the momentum is on their side. And as I said earlier, the Iranians were not willing to appease Trump, and therefore it's obvious that they won't appease Biden.
You've just mentioned the U.S. allies, and of course, you're much closer to the situation than we are. We've seen, for argument's sake, Qatar now being recognized by Saudi Arabia. The family squabble seems to be over. And even Egypt coming in and now recognizing Qatar. How is all of this, the Gulf landscape, how is that now going to play into Iran, seeing there is a different president in the White House right now?
Well, I think the divisions in the Persian Gulf region will not go away because Qatar is terrified of Saudi Arabia. They've already been threatened by them, and there's no trust between the two sides. And because of the COVID-19 virus and the effect it's had on the global economy, the economic situation in the Persian Gulf region is not very good either. Iran, ironically, has been the least affected economically by the COVID-19 and the global economic crisis, largely because it was already sanctioned. In other words, Iran, because of the sanctions, was to a large extent detached from the global economy. Therefore, it was sort of immune from the catastrophic situation that has come about because of the current global economic crisis. So Iran has been strengthened, and these countries have been weakened, but their divisions are still there. And, of course, as you rightly point out, these countries are under pressure from the United States to move closer to each other and also to recognize Israel. We see that President Erdogan recently said that he wants better relations with the Israeli regime. The Emirates, of course, they've become open about the relationship. Morocco, all these countries are basically have been moving towards Israel. But but I don't believe that they have the ability to, if this is what you're asking, to align with one another against Iran. There's so much mistrust between them, and the economic situation globally has weakened them to an extent that they do not pose a threat to Iran.
Yeah, it's quite interesting in that Iran is also part of the Gulf. Do you think that a lot of this political maneuvering has been directed at trying to actually isolate Iran politically in this whole geopolitical game?
Yes, I think that has been a key objective of the United States, or perhaps even the key objective of the United States in the Persian Gulf region. We have to remember that Iran is basically, it owns more than half of the Persian Gulf, and the islands in the Persian Gulf, and of course the Persian Gulf is named after Iran. So these countries, which are small, and their dictatorships, I mean, their family dictatorships, therefore they do not have necessarily a high degree of legitimacy. In the case of Qatar, because of the sheer amount of wealth, the state is stable, or the Emirates, because of it being a police state, it is able to maintain control for the time being. But countries like Bahrain, for example, are not inherently stable. And Saudi Arabia is moving towards instability. And since there is so much mutual distrust, Americans are really having a difficult time moving these countries closer to each other. And even if they were able to do so, these countries are not powerful enough to harm Iran in any significant way. And as I said, because there's a great deal of mistrust, countries like Oman, countries like Qatar are never going to distance themselves from Iran because they simply do not trust Saudi Arabia and Saudi allies like the Emirates. But again, these countries, because they're weak, they have been moving closer towards Israel. But I don't think that the Israelis have that capability to do anything different than what the United States has already been doing with them. So I don't see it as a threat to Iran. It is very disappointing, however, to see countries like Turkey and Saudi and Morocco kneeling to the United States and seeking friendship with Israel. But I still don't see any shift that benefits the United States or that becomes detrimental to Iran. Iran and its allies, in my opinion, are on the rise, and I think in the coming months, their hand will be strengthened in the region.
Of course, whenever we talk about geopolitics, United States, Iran, the third point of the triangle, as it were, is always Israel. Do you think that Israel will be able to play the same game vis-a-vis that it does with Iran? I'm not saying it will be any different with Biden, but with the fast-changing landscape itself, the insecurities of the Gulf countries, of Saudi Arabia in particular, and the indecision also in the United States in terms of some of their very muddled foreign policy?
Well, Israel, the Israeli regime, is not a powerful regime in itself. It has a population of 9 million, and 9 million Palestinians also are living in what is now called Israel. So they spend a lot of their energy simply crushing Palestinians. It's not a powerful country, it's a small country, and they don't have the ability to add anything to American capabilities in the Persian Gulf region. The reason why these countries like the Emirates or Saudi Arabia or Bahrain or Turkey want to have better ties with the Israeli regime is because they want to have better ties with the United States. So they know that the way to the American heart is to Washington is through Tel Aviv, or nowadays they moved the capital, but that is basically they're looking to improve their relations with the United States. But I don't see the Israeli regime being able to contribute anything that would be of harm to Iran. The Israeli regime, the reason why the Israeli regime survives is because Western countries pump in so much support, direct and indirect. Many, many billions of dollars of aid flows into Israel in different ways or form every year. And of course, regional regimes are unwilling to support the Palestinians. Even countries like Turkey, where the government has professed to be supportive of the Palestinian cause, as I said, they have relations with Israel. They have embassies. They do trade. They have direct flights. They have Israeli tourists. Well, before at least COVID, and they've never actually given a single bullet to Hamas or Islamic Jihad for their resistance. So their support for the Palestinian cause is basically to gather support at home, but at the end of the day, their good relationship with the Israeli regime is done in order to get to the is to have the Israelis lobby for them in the United States and to please the Americans. But that doesn't really have an impact on Iran. Iran's regional position is strong, its allies in the region are strong, and Iran just will not accept the Israeli regime. It sees it as an apartheid regime and will treat it as such until there's no longer apartheid in Palestine. But the only threat to Iran is, of course, the United States.
And, I mean, at the end of the day, does a departure of somebody like Jared Kushner, who diplomatically wore his heart on the sleeve, I mean, how does Iran deal with the Republicans and Trump very in your face? They say what's on their mind, whereas with the Democratic government, they say not what's on their mind, something slightly different. But at the end of the day, it ends up being the same thing. How do you deal with that?
Well, you've made a very good point, and what you say sounds very simplistic, but it's actually the reality. You're absolutely correct. Remember, we have to all remember that Biden himself said that, I am a Zionist, and his vice president, she is married to a Zionist. So this is no different, the current administration in Washington, from the Trump administration. It is exactly as you said. The Trump administration was blunt. It was very crude. It was open in its barbaric policies, whether in Yemen or Syria or Afghanistan or wherever, or Venezuela or Bolivia. It didn't matter. It's not an issue of Muslims or Christians. It's hegemony. It's a crude and oppressive empire. that extends itself across the globe. But Biden, obviously, will try to move back to the earlier days and to be more sophisticated. But the policy and the agenda is one of continuity. It is the same general policy that Trump has been pursuing, and Obama before Trump, and Bush before Obama, and Clinton before Bush. There is no change in U.S. policy. So for anyone to be optimistic about real change, I think they're being naive. Although, because the United States is on the decline, because it's facing so many problems at home, I think it will have to be more inward-looking, and I think that's good news for the rest of the world, because the more the United States has problems at home, the less trouble it causes for the rest of the world.
Professor Mohammad Marandi, Iranian academic and political analyst, as always, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and have a very good evening.